It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great and glorious day. I'm glad that you're back with us today. It's a joy to study the Word of God, and I don't ever want you to miss an opportunity to do that. And I love that you're with us today. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be studying today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through verse 7. If you're able to follow along in your Bibles, and I hope that you are, I hope that you can take a few minutes and open your Bible and follow along with me, because I want you to know what I am teaching is from the Word of God. It's not my own doctrine, it's the Word of God. We just enjoy going through verse after verse, page after page of the precious Word. It's God's holy Word. He wants to lead and direct us and to make us holy. We need to search His Word, seek His will, and follow after the leadership of the Holy Spirit to do that. So I ask today that you are able to open your Bibles and take a few minutes and study along with us today. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through verse 7. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I hope that you come to visit. I would love to see you. I'd love to meet you. If that's not possible, please write us a note and let us know that you're listening to the program, and let us know that you enjoy hearing the Word of God. I'll do anything to help you to grow in the Word of God, to bring you to the Lord Jesus, to help you to search the Word, study the Word of God. Please, that you, if possible, stop by and see us. If not possible, write us a note. And again, 18th and Church Street in Hamilton, Illinois. And the zip over here is 62341. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And so please, now that you have had a few minutes to open your Bibles, I'd like to read with you, and I hope that you, again, are following along, from verse 4 through verse 7, Philippians chapter 4. Beginning to read with verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's go ahead and read the 8th and 9th verse while we're here. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which are both learned and received and heard and seen of me, in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Beautiful verses of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start today. And Father, I ask that you will guide and lead us now. I ask, Father, that you will just search out these words and apply them to our hearts and have us to have such a great understanding that our knowledge in you will grow, and then not only that we'll have the knowledge of you, but then we'll gain the wisdom as well. And Father, we know that the knowledge is to learn something, but the wisdom is to use it. And so I ask, Father, that as we come to study with you and enjoy your way and enjoy your will and seek your will, seek first of all, Father, that we come to know your Son Jesus, that we trust in the Lord Jesus. Please, please, Father, that there not be one listener today that has not come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Please don't miss that opportunity. There is nothing in this world that is greater and more important than coming to Jesus today. And I ask, Father, that you'll just touch the hearts of every person that's listening. If they be lost, that you'll show them their sin, show them the Savior Jesus, that they can come by faith to Jesus and simply and quickly be saved and walk after you and enjoy that. Please, Lord, convict their hearts. Show them their sinful condition that they may come to the Lord Jesus. Father, we're a mess, and we need a Savior. And we know, Father, the only Savior there is your Son Jesus. And Father, it's such a privilege to know that, Father, with the walk that we have, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three are complete separate persons, yet one. Now, Father, we can't understand that. But I know, Father, it's true because your word tells us that. And so we know, Father, that Jesus is the Savior. He come to seek and to save. So please, Father, that you touch the hearts of every one of us. Apply this word to our hearts today as we study it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been in the past weeks, two weeks ago, we looked at the word prayer in the sixth verse. I backed up to verse 4. I bet you thought we were going back onto a review here, and we'd never get back up to 6 and 7. And then on top of it, I read verse 8 and 9 for you today. We don't go very fast. We sure enjoy the Word of God. We do take our time because I want you to see I have never liked the Sunday school material that had a certain pace, and you have to get through the Word of God in such a certain period of time. When you do that, you never have, and the purpose of that, supposedly, is that you just get an overview of the Word of God, and then you go back and study it. But the problem is, I know, and you know, that you never get back to studying it. And so why don't we just take our time? And why don't we just go verse by verse, word by word, and enjoy the precious word and learn what it has to say instead of saying, I have a general view, I have an overview of the Word of God. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people got an overview of the Word of God, and it's worthless to them. I want you to seek out the Word. I want you to know the Word of God. And that's the reason we go so slow, so that it may penetrate into your heart, penetrate into your mind. We'll jump down here to verse 7. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want the Word of God. I want God's precious Word, His holy Word, to do that unto you and unto me. Now please, as we study it and search it. So, again, two weeks ago, the word prayer, and if you'll remember, the word prayer and last week as well, we worked over two words, prayer and supplication, together. Today we're going to work at the word thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, thanksgiving. But I want to review just a little bit concerning prayer and supplication. When we looked the word prayer in the Greek, we found that it meant to an earnest worship. Now, when you come before the Lord Jesus, and this is what we've talked about the last couple of weeks, and especially last week, as you come in prayer, we seem to think that that word means that we just spend a few minutes and we dump out all of our things that we would like to have. I used the example the last time, and that is just kind of like our Christmas list. As you were a child, why, you used to make out your Christmas list, and then if you followed after Santa Claus, why, you'd see that he got that, you'd send that letter to the North Pole with all the lists of your requests, and then just knowing for sure, without a question, that that list would be filled, and you would receive everything from it, and oh, you believed that it was going to be filled. Well, it's sad to say that that's exactly the way we treat our Heavenly Father. It becomes things that we want. We do not choose to spend time in prayer, in worship. And when I say that, it's more than just to get down on our knees and give God a list of requests that we have, a list of things that we want. It's much different than that. Real prayer and true prayer is to come before Him up on our knees and let Him speak to us. God, I want what you want for me. God, I want you to direct me. God, I desire to be where you want me to be and to do what you want me to do and to have what you want me to have. That's what I want, Lord. Now I'm here. Now speak to me. Now through a precious time in His Word, as you'll glean, as you'll go down through His Word and spend time alone in His Word with Him in prayer, in worship. Now, all of a sudden, you'll realize that you've stopped talking and you've begun to listen. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen today. Now, if you're lost and if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I ask that you listen very carefully. Because we know that we're sinners. People don't preach about that. People don't talk about that. But it doesn't matter. It's true. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Now, if you haven't come by faith to Jesus, there's a big difference between you and me. My sins have been forgiven me. My sins have been taken away as far as the east is from the west. And not because I'm a good person, not because I've done everything right, not because I don't lie and cheat, and not because of any of those things, but because I came back in 1975, the summer of 1975, I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save a poor, wretched, filthy sinner. I did it all alone. Nobody was with me. Got up off my knees. Some people cry when they're saved. Some people laugh when they're saved. Some people don't do anything when they're saved. I was one of those that didn't do anything. I just got up. But it wasn't long that my life started to change. It changed because of His Word. As I was searching His Word, and as He would show me things by His Spirit that came into my heart the day I was saved, my walk changed. We don't have time today to go through all the things that took place. But I've shared with many people that know me, and that is the first thing that God dealt with me on was my temper. And with my temper, of course, was my language, my filthy mouth. Well, it really bothers me today, people that confess to be saved, and you're talking to them, and all of a sudden, they'll use the Lord's name in vain. They'll use curse words all the time. Now, the Holy Spirit that lives within me convicts my heart when I do that. Why aren't these other people that attend church faithfully, say they're saved, how can they do that? You see, the Holy Spirit within me says, no, Larry. Are they not in the Word? I don't know what the problem is, but it's a serious problem. Maybe they're not truly saved. But I ask today that you come to Jesus and you be saved, that you walk after the Lord Jesus, and then begin to learn how to honestly and truly pray. Stop just giving the list as if you would drive through at the fast food place, and you'd drive through and hand, or you get to the that little speaker and you got the menu board and you look down through that menu and you say, boy, that looks good and that looks good and that looks good. I want this, this, and this. And then you drive around the corner and you put your money in, and then you ride on up to the next window. And then that's where they hand what you have purchased, all the food that you desire to have to satisfy yourself. Well, that's exactly the way we treat God most of the time. We tell Him what we want. We throw Him a little money. And then we expect to get what we've asked. And most of the time, part of the time, we get what we ask for. But it's not because God wants us to have it. It's because we figure out a way to get it. We haven't asked Him. We haven't went to prayer. We set our whole life ahead of us. Young people, you're looking to the Lord Jesus, and you've got a whole life ahead of you. And if you're saved, if you know Jesus, please spend time, much time, on your knees quietly before Him with the precious Word in front of you. And God, show me. Show me what You want me to do with my life for You. And He'll tell you what school to go to. Oh, you won't hear this voice, but the Spirit of God will so direct you. And I ask that you listen so carefully. Don't throw your life away. Don't go around and spend everything you have with every credit card you have so that you can accomplish and things, all the things that seem to be important to the world. I ask that you go to Him in prayer. Now there is a time, now that's the first. It was a prayer is a time of worship, of quietness. Now the next, and I don't like to spend so much time with this because I definitely want to get down to Thanksgiving, but you need to understand the importance of the life of a believer and his prayer life, his or her prayer life. And it's important that we be listeners. Stop talking and listen. Because through His Word, by the Holy Spirit in your heart, believer, He'll speak to you. Oh, you won't. And be so careful. Because so often I've had people tell me, God said this. But you see, I know that's a lie because it's contrary to the Word of God. Never will you ever get direction from God that's something contrary from His Word. He's unchanging, never changes. So you see, what you get from him, you can always confirm in his word. Not by picking out parts, but by the word of God, the continuity from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. As you study and search the word of God, you will get guidance and leadership of where to be, what to do, all those things. It's a joy, and it's a peace that's going to come. Be careful for nothing in everything by prayer. And then supplications, and next, the petition, the request to beg. Now, we read a couple of examples in both of them in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. And in there it says, ask and it shall be given you. And then it continues on and on. And so we know that after we have spent time in prayer, in worship before him, that then there's a time that he wants us to ask him. He wants to hear from us. And when I tell you to be quiet, it's because we're so much the other way that we never listen. And so it is important that we do bring our requests to him. Don't misunderstand that we're just supposed to come on our knees and be quiet and not say anything, because he wants to visit with us. But most of our time is spent in we drop to our knees, we give him the list, and we jump up and take off. And we don't wait. We don't stay back to listen to what he has to say. So, yes, there's a time for the supplication, prayer and supplication, to ask, and it says it'll be given you. If you come to him in prayer, in worship, you desire with all of your heart to do what he wants you to do. When you get to that place, and you can be to that place very quickly, my friend, if you just surrender your heart to him. I want you to see some miracles. I want God to perform some miracles in your life. I want you to tell me of those miracles. I want to hear what God's doing and the great things that he's doing in your life. And you know that God has done it, because no other way could it happen. And that is the greatest thing to my heart when I hear people say, God's done this. I know it. There's no other way. I've tried and I've worked and I've done everything and spent all this amount of money, and I have nothing to show for it. And I finally turned it to him. And I went to him and says, God, if it be your will. And then I waited, knowing that if it be his will, I'll have it. But if it's not his will, praise God. Now, can you do that? Can you do that? The second one was in Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 through 45, where the Lord Jesus left his disciples and went on for a small distance. And then he came back and found them asleep. And he says, can't you stay awake for 1 hour? Can't you stay awake for 1 hour? Boy, that's a problem, isn't it? We're so busy with our life that we don't have an hour to give to the Lord. We're studying the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday night, and I speak of this often because it's so great. A lot of you people don't study the Old Testament. Why not? I love the Old Testament. It's a joy. We're in Isaiah on Sunday night, and we're in Deuteronomy on Wednesday night. I love the Old Testament. The Old Testament's teaching me that God comes first. And God wants the first. He wants the best and the first. And we have examples back there concerning the first fruits. The first fruits of the harvest. You should bring that unto the Lord. You should bring it to him. You should give him not only his tithe, but also his offering. And it should be the first and it should be the best. And it should come from the heart. A joyful heart, not a grudging heart that's just trying to follow after some law that's been placed there, but a joy because, God, you have given me everything, and I'm just returning a small amount. Praise you. I thank you. Praise you. Now, thanksgiving. That opens up for the last one. This is all one. Be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. That's what kind of got us started in all this. Worry about nothing. This whole world, if we would bring people to the saving knowledge, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus, they'd come, they'd get down on their knees, they'd recognize they're sinners, and they're born in sin, that filthy sin's in their life, and there's only one way to get rid of that, and that's come to Jesus, and now I have surrendered, I have come, Lord Jesus, to you. Now I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to walk after you. Do you realize that if people would do that, if they would surrender their heart and their life and follow the truth, not this nonsense, I'm just sick over the psychology and all that nonsense. And I mean nonsense. I don't like it. It is ungodly. It is against the will of God. When they bring it in, they call themselves Christian psychologists. Call themselves whatever you want to, but leave that word Christian out. Because all it's doing is filling their pocket. And all it's doing is changing God's will and trying to get into that inner self and trying to dig it out. I want to get Jesus in there because he's going to do something. But until Jesus is there, my friend, there's nothing. And few of those doctors spend the first few times visiting with you telling you about one person, Jesus. They tell you about, well, what did your father do to you, or what did your mother do to you, or what did your grandfather do to you? They always go back trying to find the place where the problem started. Well, the problem started with Adam and Eve. And I can take you back 6,000 years ago. That's where the problem started. Now that we know where the problem's at, my friend, let's correct it. And we can correct it by faith coming to Jesus. And so would you do that today? And then we begin this sweet walk and this wonderful walk. Be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. The psychologists and the psychiatrist's couch would be empty. The doctor's offices would be empty if we could get rid of this worry. If we get rid of the worry, you wouldn't have to wait any longer when you went to the doctor for something that was ailing you, because the doctor's office would be pretty well empty if we get rid of worry. And I'm telling you how to do it. Come to Jesus. Prayerfully, with your supplications, with thanksgiving. Come to the Lord Jesus and worship him. Adore him. Give him your life. Give him everything. And visit with him, telling him of your needs. But don't forget something that's so very important. And all three of these words are all together. I'm separating them only to pull them back together again. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving. Got some verses of scripture here I want you to look at. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I hope that you are able to look with me as we look through this sweet word and look up these verses of scripture. 1 Thessalonians. It's just a few pages beyond where you're at, going towards the back of your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be reading in verse 17 and 18. And I ask you that you do this with your Bible instead of just, if you're, again, not driving or not having to work. I know I've got a lot of folks that are doing the chores right now, folks that are at work right now that have to work during this time. I've got folks that are driving to church. There are a lot of things going on right now, and you can't take a few minutes and open up your Bible. But if you're sitting at home and you're able right now, I ask that you would open your Bibles and find this. Even if you have to go back to the index, and you'll find after a very short period of time that you're going to become familiar with these scripture verses. That's something we do with the Sunday school class that I have, and I have a very young Sunday school class. But something we do many times, and that is I'll write books of the Bible up on the board, the blackboard, and I will name the book of Philippians, and they will tell me the book that comes after that. I'll name the book of Matthew. I'll name different books of the Old and New Testament. And those kids are sharp. And I'm talking kids that are 6, 7, 8 years old. Can you do that? If you can't, my friend, it's because you're lazy. Now wake up, get that book out, wear it out. If you'd see how many Bibles I've wore out since I've been saved, you'd think, boy, Larry, you got to take better care of your Bible. And no, I don't. I use them. I'll buy another one. I wear them out and I buy another one. Please that you wear those Bibles out because you're using them. We have in 1 Thessalonians 5, I'll give you plenty of time to get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God the Father through Christ Jesus the Son. You need to give thanks. He said, what have I got to give thanks for? Oh, my friend, you're in worse shape than I thought. What can you thank the Lord for? Well, my health isn't any good, so I can't thank him for that. Thank him for the sickness. Oh, that's foolish. My friend, thank him. Thank him for the surgery. Thank him for the sickness. Thank him for your good health if you have good health. Thank him for the great day that he's given you. Thank him for the opportunity that you can go to that factory and work each day and earn the money to feed your family. Thank him. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your wife. Thank him for your husband. Thank him for their children, for your parents. Thank him. Thank him that the sun's in the sky, that he holds the world together. Thank him that he rotates the earth as he does. Thank him for the snow and for the rain. Thank him for the breath that you take each day. But thank him most of all for Jesus. If it had not been for Jesus, we'd be born, we'd live, and we'd die. That's all there'd be. Always there's an eternity, my friend. But that eternity is in the pits of hell, where the fire never ends. The gnashing of teeth, the scripture talks about. The worm never dies. Total, complete darkness. All these things are things that the Word of God's told us of. My friend, you know Jesus. You should never stop thanking Him. To thank Him. Let's go on to Colossians. Back to Colossians, actually. Colossians kind of halfway between Philippians and 1 Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 3. I'm trying to help you to get used to using your Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. For whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Give thanks. To give thanks. Do we understand, if it be not for the Lord Jesus, if it be not for God, what we would have nothing. He holds everything. We would have nothing. Now, if you're not in the house of God, when that door's open, you have an opportunity to come and to worship and to give your time and service unto the Lord in the work of the church and the work of the ministry. If you have sat on that pocketbook, that billfold all the time, and you sit there and you refuse, I don't have enough money to give my tithe this week, you're stealing from God. Instead of stealing from God, you ought to be giving your time and the talents that He's given you, and the money that He's given you, you should be giving it thankfully. Praising God. Oh, my friend, that you would do that with all the love and the joy that God can give you. But the reason many of us don't is because, my friend, the peace of God is not in our heart. The peace of God, maybe you're a child of God, but you have not searched the Word of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God there is to be set at one again. To join, the scripture says. The peace of God. We're going to begin right here and take off from there next time. I thank you that you come to be with us today. But my friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?